Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharon. Welcome to the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Show. I say it every week, but just so delighted that you decided to join us right here on this platform, the Marketing Pulpit. And my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake, he's joining me today. How are you, Dr. Lake?
I'm always doing good.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, listen, everybody, we're gonna dive right into the show today. And to those who may be new, we just want to say welcome. Always a delight to have new listeners. And to those who've been with me since day one, I just want to say thank you so much. We love you so much. Thank you for your support, your encouragement, for your notes, for your texts. Thank you for all the things that you send to us, just letting us know that you're there and that you care. Well, we have been in a series, not a series really, but I was sharing with you a couple weeks ago about a book that my mother shared with me years ago. And when, of course, she first shared it with me, I didn't really want to read it, to be honest with you, because I thought the title was kind of silly. But I'm an avid reader. I love reading. I've loved reading since I was a child. I really do. I enjoy reading. I enjoy doing research. So she asked me again if I had read it, if I would read it. So I did. I went ahead and read it, and I'm so glad I did. And that is what we have been sharing with you here on the show. And, you know, amidst everything that is going on in our world today, and there is so much going on, and I do want to just say a little bit about that, and I'm going to give, of course, Dr. Lake's weigh in on it as well. But there's just a lot going on, a lot of political, social unrest. People are concerned. People are worried. People are wondering what's going to happen. What is our world going to come to? And there's an answer for that question. There really is. There is an answer for that question. And There have also been some wonderful comments and things written in regards to where we are today. So I want to chat just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit about that. But also, as you know, Black History Month is being celebrated this month. African Americans have made some powerful impact on our country, our world, in our community. They really, really have. And this weekend, I was reading something, and I'm going to share it with you. I thought it was really heartfelt. I thought it was powerful. And I'm going to share that with you, too, a little later on in the show. But, Dr. Lake, I want to chat with you just briefly, and then we're going to go into this number one bestseller that my mother suggested that I read. But I want to ask you, and we talked about this briefly before, there is a lot going on that people are very unsettled about. As you know, families are currently having to go back to countries, and people aren't understanding what's going on, why it's going on. There are people who have voted for our current president, and they are angry and upset because although they voted for him, some of their family members are being deported and sent back home. And not only that, but you have the violence. You have the for whatever reason, you have the racial tension, which has been going on for so long. But for those who are concerned about it, therapists, I relate, what can we share today with listeners who are concerned about their safety, their children's safety? They're concerned about if things will ever change, if things will ever get better. They're concerned about it. What would you say to those listeners today?
I wish that I could just, you know, say something so positive that it would take away the reality of the world in which we live in. But the truth of the matter be told, these are what I believe are the last days. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I think there's a portion of passage of scripture that talks about, you know, men will make progress from bad to worse. The love of many will wax cold. What we're seeing is just the tip of an iceberg. It's going to get worse. But here's the ultimate hope. We believe in something bigger outside of us, outside of this world that will come and take all this away. And so that's the only thing that we have. We have our hope that one day Jesus will come. And if we keep looking for man to make things better, we got to change the lens on our camera, because men, we are getting worse, and we don't have it within us to do it better. But that's not to say that we can't stand up, make our voices heard, take action against injustice and wrong. There's ways to do it. We can boycott. You can vote. You can protest and demonstrate peacefully. There are some ways to get attention. We can, not buy items that are supported by certain individuals and their ideologies. There's ways to get people's attention. But if we just keep looking for things to get, one day somebody's going to come and make it better, like a president or a mayor, that's not going to happen.
Absolutely. Well, I really do think that if people really just sat back and thought about the fact that you should do unto others the way that you want them to do unto you. Those little, tiny little things that we've heard since we were children, if you would live peaceably with all mankind, it's because of that peace, it's because someone thought of others that we're able to enjoy some of the things that we enjoy today. And it has happened down through the years. When a generation or government was selfish and only thought of itself and didn't think of the well-being of all people, it started the demise of that country. It's just happened all down through the years. And so I want to encourage those who may be concerned and those who are upset, those who are really shaking their heads to things that are happening. As Dr. Lake has said, yes, if you believe in a higher power, if you believe in God, if you believe in those things, things are going to get worse before they get better. But one of the things that I like about the Bible, which has been around for so long, it has a message of hope in it. It really does. It's a beautiful message of hope. And I've read all kinds of religious and biblical scripts, and it has one of the most positive messages that I've read when it comes to hope and the belief that there is a better world that will come. It will come, and we can prepare for that, and we look forward to that. And I do want to read something, and it's just an excerpt from a young lady, and I thought it was just beautiful. And I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read an excerpt from it. And she was sharing how she felt about the things that are taking place in the world today. And I'm just going to take a few minutes to read it because I honestly thought it was really, really, really beautiful. She spoke from her heart, and I want to share just a few, a little bit of it with you. She says, "I'm unapologetic about being an African-American woman who loves God, myself, and my people. I am unapologetic about supporting diversity and inclusion. I support all disenfranchised people worldwide. This includes my full support of the Muslim community, Hispanic community, LGBTQ, and Native Americans fighting to keep what little bit of sacred land that they have left." She goes on to share that I'm apologetic about getting along with all people of all races. It is just who I am. Yet, you will never hear me say, I don't see color. I do. Not seeing color with humans is like saying that all cats are the same. There are tigers, lions, cheetahs, panthers, house cats, etc. Diversity is a beautiful thing. The brutality of a few does not represent the entire race. And she goes on to share, I will not apologize for the sake of speaking safely about the mistreatment of my ancestors, which included seasoning and chattel slavery followed by psychological slavery. The breast milk of my great-great-grandmothers and other female ancestors are the reason that some of you may be alive. I am unapologetic about channeling the energy of Harriet Tubman, Malcolm X, Denmark Vesey, Assata Shakur, Marcus Garvey, Mammy Abu Jamal, Dr. Maya Angelou, Dr. Sonia Sanchez, Nikki Giovanni, Dr. Francis Press Westling, Dr. Mirala Turinga, Dr. Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, Carter G. Woodson, J.A. Rogers, Nat Turner, James Baldwin, Muhammad Ali, Martin Luther King, Angela Davis, Huey Newton, Steve Nichols, Desmond Tutu, and the list goes on and on and on. I owe my life to their sacrifices and must honor their legacies. I unapologetically support the Black Lives Matter movement. If our lives really matter, there will be no need for the movement. And I have family members on both sides of the coin. I am unapologetic as America is still unapologetic for its blatant hypocrisy. America should be ashamed by the fact that many of us have to wear the mask daily. It protects my eyes from the dust and dirt that is kicked up by all the folks doing the offbeat Make America Great Again dance to the tune of the cries of many ancestors of my ancestors. Yet the mask provides no protection from the pain of the raging fire that burns through my veins, which is only extinguished by the tears of me crying myself to sleep at night. I thought that was beautiful, and the young lady that wrote that, Terry Joelle, it was just beautiful, and I just wanted to share a little bit of that with you because I think everybody is beautiful in this world, every race, every color, everybody. And during this month as we celebrate Black History Month, just remember, it's not about one color. It's about us all living in love and harmony as one race because we're all beautiful.
It's hard to see yourself when you're looking at someone else. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Yeah. It's hard to see yourself when you're looking at someone else. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful.
Yes, you are. And right here on the Marketing Pulpit, we just want to remind you that you are beautiful just the way you are. And do good by all people. And the higher power of the universe will make sure that one day good will be done to you. When we come back, we are going to finish diving into this number one bestseller that I want to share with you right here on the Marketing Pulpit.
Gatewood Marketing is a company that can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into websites and marketing, everything. So I thank the Lord for Robert and Gatewood Marketing.
Well, as you know, we have been discussing this book, number one bestseller by Spencer Johnson, Dr. Spencer Johnson, who moved my cheek. Dr. Lake, when we last talked about reading from this book, the last thing we shared was, when you move beyond your fear, you feel free. When you move beyond your fear, you feel free. And lastly, Dr. Lake, you were sharing with us that sometimes fear can really immobilize you. Fear can cause you to not move or not make changes or not do anything at all. You remember sharing that with us? Tell us a little bit about that. And then we're gonna, tell us just a little bit about how fear can just immobilize you and make you stay where you are and possibly keep you from benefiting from some of the things that life has for you.
The unknown, traveling or going down an uncharted path, experiencing something potentially for the first time, you know, can be daunting, frightful, fearful. And sometimes, you know, we can overthink that thing so much because we don't know what's ahead and what we can do that it literally can paralyze us, freeze us, make us hesitate, and we can miss out on opportunities. And fear is a natural emotion, and it's given to us to alert us that something bad could happen so that we can be alert. But it is not the evidence to control us for us not to take a chance, to take an action, regardless if we don't see the how it's going to, or what's going to happen beyond that next door. That's the part of fear that we can't submit to. We have to always keep pushing, even though we don't always see or understand what lies ahead.
Oh, that is beautiful. Absolutely. And that's what it's saying. When you move beyond your fear, you can feel free. So we're just going to go ahead, Dr. Lake, and I'm going to move through a little bit more of this. And believe it or not, we only have a few more pages, and we'll be done with this one. So here we go. I'm going to start where I left off. Har realized he had been held captive by his own fear. Moving in a new direction had freed him. Now he felt the cool breeze that was blowing in this part of the maze, and it was refreshing. He took in some deep breaths and felt invigorated by the movement. Once he had gotten past his fear, it turned out to be more enjoyable than he once believed it could be. Paul hadn't felt this way for a long time. He had almost forgotten how much fun it was to just go for it. To make things even better, Haas started to paint a picture in his mind again. He saw himself in great realistic detail, sitting in the middle of a pile of all his favorite cheeses, from cheddar to brie. He saw himself eating the many cheeses he liked, and he enjoyed what he saw. Then he imagined how much he would enjoy all their great taste. The more clearly he saw the image of himself enjoying the cheese, the more real and unbelievable it became. He could sense that he was going to find it, and he wrote, "Imagining myself enjoying new cheese even before I find it leads me to it." Hawk kept thinking about what he could gain instead of what he was losing. He wondered why he had always thought that a change would lead to something worse. Now he realized that change could lead to something better. "Why didn't I see this before?" he asked himself. Then he raced through the maze with greater strength and agility. Before long, he spotted a cheese station and became excited as he noticed little pieces of new cheese near the entrance. They were types of cheeses he had never seen before, but they looked great. He tried them and found that they were delicious. He ate most of the new cheese bites that were available and put a few in his pocket to have later and perhaps share some with him. He began to regain his strength. He entered the cheese station with great excitement. But to his dismay, he found it was empty. Someone had already been there and had left only the few bits of new cheese. He realized that if he had moved sooner, he would very likely have found a good deal of new cheese here. Haw decided to go back and see if Hem was ready to join him. As he retraced his steps, he stopped and wrote on the wall, "The quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you find new cheese." After a while, Haw made his way back to Cheese Station C and found Hem. He offered him bits of new cheese but was turned down. Hem appreciated his friend's gesture but said, "I don't think I would like new cheese. It's not what I'm used to. I want my own cheese back, and I'm not going to change until I get what I want." Haw just shook his head in disappointment and reluctantly went back out on his own. As he returned to the farthest point he had reached in the maze, he missed his friend, but realized he liked what he was discovering. Even before he found what he hoped would be a great supply of new cheese, if ever, he knew that what made him happy wasn't just having cheese. He was happy when he wasn't being run by his fear. He liked what he was doing now. Knowing this, Haw didn't feel as weak as he did when he stayed in Cheese Station C with no cheese. Just realizing he was not letting his fear stop him and knowing that he had taken a new direction nourished him and gave him strength. Now he felt that it was just a question of time before he found what he needed. In fact, he sensed he had already found what he was looking for. He smiled as he realized it is safer to search in the maze than remain in a cheeseless situation. Haw realized again, as he had once before, that what you are afraid of is never as bad as what you imagine. The fear you let build up in your mind is worse than the situation that actually exists. He'd been so afraid of never finding new cheese that he didn't even want to start looking. But since starting his journey, he had found enough cheese in the corridors to keep him going. Now he looked forward to finding more. Just looking ahead was becoming exciting. His old thinking had been clouded by his worries and fears. He used to think about not having enough cheese or not having it last as long as he wanted. He used to think about what could go wrong than what could go right. But that had changed in the days since he had left Cheese Station C. He used to believe that cheese should never be moved, and that change wasn't right. Now he realized it was natural for change to continually occur, whether you expect it or not. Change could surprise you only if you didn't expect it and weren't looking for it. When he realized he had changed his beliefs, he paused to write on the wall, "Old beliefs do not lead you to new cheese." Haw hadn't found cheese yet, but as he ran through the maze, he thought about what he had already learned. Haw now realized that his new beliefs were encouraging new behaviors. He was behaving differently than when he kept returning to the same cheeseless station. He knew when you change what you believe, you change what you do. You can't believe that a change will harm you and resist it, or you can believe that finding new cheese will help you and embrace the change. It all depends on what you choose to believe. He wrote on the wall, "When you see that you can find and enjoy new cheese, you change course." Haw knew he would be in better shape now if he had dealt with the change much sooner and left Cheese Station C earlier. He would feel stronger in body and spirit, and he could have coped better with the challenge of finding new cheese. In fact, he probably would have found it by now if he had expected change rather than wasting time denying that the change had already taken place. He used his imagination again and saw himself finding and savoring new cheese. He decided to proceed into the more unknown parts of the maze and found little bits of cheese here and there. Haw began to regain his strength and confidence. As he thought about and as he thought back on where he had come from, Haw was glad he had written on the wall in many places. He trusted that it would serve as a marked trail for him to follow through the maze if he chose to leave Cheese Station C. Haw just hoped he was heading in the right direction. He thought about the possibility that him would read the handwriting on the wall and find his way. He wrote on the wall what he had been thinking about for some time. Noticing small changes early helps you adapt to the bigger changes that are to come. By now, Haw had let go of the past and was adapting to the present. He continued on through the maze with greater strength and speed. And before long, it happened. When it seemed like he had been in the maze forever, his journey, or at least this part of his journey, ended quickly and happily. Haw proceeded along a corridor that was new to him, rounded a corner, and found new cheese at Cheese Station N. When he went inside, he was startled by what he saw. Piled high everywhere was the greatest supply of cheese he had ever seen. He didn't recognize all that he saw, as some kinds of cheese were new to him. Then he wondered for a moment whether it was real or just his imagination, until he saw his old friend Sniff and Scurry. Sniff welcomed Haw with a nod off his head, and Scurry waved his paw. Their fat little bellies showed that they had been here for some time. Haw quickly said his hellos and soon took bites of every one of his favorite cheeses. He pulled off his shoes, tied the laces together, and hung them around his neck in case he needed them again. Sniff and Scurry laughed. They nodded their heads in admiration. Then Haw jumped into the new cheese. When he had eaten his fill, he lifted a piece of fresh cheese and made a toast. Hooray for change! As Haw enjoyed the new cheese, he reflected on what he had learned. He realized that when he had been afraid to change, he had been holding on to the illusion of old cheese that was no longer there. So what was it that made him change? Was it the fear of starving to death? Haw smiled as he thought it certainly helped. Then he laughed and realized that he had started to change as soon as he had learned to laugh at himself and at what he had been doing wrong. He realized the fastest way to change is to laugh at your own folly. Then you can let go and quickly move on.
Autumn turns to winter, and then winter turns to spring. It's not just season, you know, it goes for everything.
Clouds can turn to rain, and then it just might snow. You gotta take a lesson from Mother Nature, and if you do, you'll know.
He had learned something useful about moving on from his mice friends.
The changes you've been through.
They kept life very simple. They didn't overanalyze or overcomplicate things. when the situation changed and the cheese had been moved, they changed and they moved with the cheese. Dr. Lake, what do you think about that? I thought that was awesome.
Oh, I loved it. It just goes to show you we either adapt and change or we become outdated and antiquated.
Absolutely. And listen, if you're scared to change, if you know you need to change, you need to change the situation, there's something going on and you just don't know what to do, hey, you can call therapist Dr. Ira Lake and he can really help you through some of those situations. Dr. Lake, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
You can reach me directly at 714-376-8643.
And there you have it. And listen, my dad used to tell me, if you want to be successful, surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. If you want to be successful, surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. Sometimes your company can hold you back or they can propel you forward. So thank you so much for listening. This has been Sharon along with my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake. You've been listening to The Marketing Pulpit. Have a wonderful day.